Welcome to the Basic Principles of Backup Policies lesson. My name is Andrea Mauro and I will be your instructor for this part of Backup Academy. Before we start this lesson, first let me tell you a little about myself. I have 17 years of experience in IT world. I am a virtualization and storage architect specialized on VMware, but also on Microsoft, Citrix and Linux solutions. And I work for Asirus, an Italian IT company. I held several certifications, some from VMware like the VCDX and some from other vendors like Microsoft, as well as some accreditation like VExpert. I'm one of the founder and board member of the Italian WMAG and also a VMTN community moderator and blogger. Now let's take a look at the agenda of this lesson. First of all, we will explain what is a backup policy. We will also give some information about the flow and the process to design a backup plan. Then, we will detail some aspects of a backup policy, like what, where, and how. The purpose of this lesson is just to give the basis of some concepts. For deep technical details on specific arguments, there are other lessons in the Backup Academy. So, let's explain what is a policy. It's typically a principle, or a rule, or a procedure, or a protocol to guide decision and achieve results. The term is not normally used to denote what is actually done, but how can be done. Related to backup world, a policy becomes a set of rules to achieve the required backup goals, and usually we can find several aspects covered by these rules. Some could be technical, but not only. A backup policy usually does not specify the technical aspects that are related to specific backup solutions and products. A backup policy can work at high level, matching the requirements and the constraints to some logical aspect of the backup task. Some common examples of requirements are recovery point and recovery time objectives that basically define how much data history I have to save for the RPO and how fast I have to restore for the RTO. For the constraints, clear examples are budget limits or backup windows. Backup windows is the time slot where backup could be performed. In most cases, backup policies could be part of a larger and more general plans, like the business continuity plan. Basically, a backup policy defines some simple aspects, like what, where, and how much, how often, and so on. But there could be a lot of dependency between these aspects, as well also with the requirements and the constraints. In order to match all those dependencies, usually, a deep analysis should be necessary to define the possible solutions. For example, a small backup window can be a big constraint in a backup policy and could conflict with some requirements, like a small RPO. In this picture, you can see how RPO and RTO could define some choices in the backup policies and solutions. In some cases, backup-based solutions are either not applicable, like for example with really small RTO. As explained in the previous slides, a backup policy usually works at high level and it's the result of a typical IT flow that starts from an initial analysis and could have several reiterations and tuning phases. Again, a backup policy usually does not specify the technical aspects that are related to specific backup solutions and products. But when the backup solution has been selected, then a backup policy could become more specific and represent a technical implementation of the particular product. The term policy could also be present in some backup products. In this case, it simply becomes a set of rules in the specific vendor solution that can be just an implementation of a set of general high-level backup policy. The what part of a backup is not necessarily a property of a backup policy, because in some backup products, the selection list is just used as an input to the policy in order to define the backup job. But when we define the source of a backup, we must consider different aspects that may limit our choices or may create dependency with other backup policies. First, the required protection level, that is just a requirement, but defines several dependencies, also could be different for different sources and different type of sources. There is also the way to handle the backup tasks. This is usually a more technical aspect, but must be considered in their overall backup architecture. Then we have the type of sources. Backup and also restore procedures are different depending on the type of the sources, like files, application data, systems, virtual machines. Then there is also the type of the transport at source side. We can handle the backup stream in different way, starting from a simple full copy or by using more complex models like incremental transfers or deduplication at the source side. Of course, the source sides could be critical and we must define how much data and estimate how big are the sources. Now let's give more details about the previous points. The way to handle the backup task is just a technical aspect that of course depends by the backup products. But we can find some generic approach and aspects common in most products. One is related to the agent or agentless design. The backup program may need a specific agent on the source side to handle the backup in the right way and with enough consistency. This is common in most of the application level backup, where the agent is used to manage the right backup procedure inside the application. Agent could also be needed to manage the restore procedure. Another aspect is about the way the backup is performed, hot or cold. In hot backup, the services and the systems can run during the backup job. Note that this approach could give some impact in the environment, for example, in performance aspects. Cold backup are simplest to handle, and also consistency is guaranteed in this kind of approach, but they could not meet the RPO requirements or the backup windows constraints. Note that usually to handle hot backup in the right way, an agent on the source side could be needed, at least to give the right backup consistency. Finally, we can talk on how the data flow is handled, using push or pull solution, starting from the source or from the backup machine. Usually, this technical aspect is not relevant, except in some special cases, like geographic backup or backup across firewalls and the NAT. The type of source is an important aspect, because the backup set and the type of data on it can influence how backup and also restore procedure could be defined. The consistency of the backup data depends also of the source type and must be guaranteed in the right or at least in a proper way. We have also to consider that a specific backup solution may not support all the possible source type or may require additional specific agent, option or components. At least we could find some type of source objects. The simple case are file and folders. Although most backup solutions support files on Windows operating system, not all can handle also file on Linux or other Unix operating system. Then we could have application data. In this case, we need a deep knowledge of the type of application and how data are stored and how to handle a right consistency of them, both for the backup but also for the restore procedure. This usually require backup agents for specific applications, and not all the backup solutions can handle the same set of applications. More complex are handle backup of entire system. In this case, we want to protect the system and the related data instead of only a subset of its data. In this case, we are talking about image level backup. By using specific feature available in most of the backup products, we can perform from a backup at system level a restore of the entire system or a restore at file level, and in some cases also a restore at application level. Finally, we can have virtual machine backup. In this case, is really similar to previous one, except that now the system are just virtual machines. Depending on the type of hypervisor, we can handle backup more efficiently compared to physical system, and for some hypervisor also in an agentless way. The backup is usually handled at VM image level, the file that represents a VM, that is similar to a file, to a system image of a backup system. But depending on the backup solution, we can have a different level of restore, as described in the previous point. Let's spend some words about data consistency and integrity, that is really important in order to have good backup and good restore. We can have different levels. We could start from a crash consistent backup to reach a full consistent and recoverable set of data. Of course, it depends by the type of the source. At file level, we may need specific OS features or agent features to handle the consistency of open files. For example, on Windows, we can use BSS. Application level, we can use application specific solution like backup agent or procedure to export the data, or on Windows use application that are VSS aware. With system backup, we have to handle the entire system state in a proper way. Again, this usually requires agent or cold backup. With virtual environments, we can use specific functions provided by the hypervisor's level, like VM snapshot to have at least a crash consistent backup, or others like VDAP API on VMware vSphere. For more details about consistency, but also the different type of sources, there are several lessons in the Backup Academy about backup of physical and virtual system, and also about VSS. When we've selected the data source, then there are different ways to handle the data flow from the source to the destination during a backup job. One simple solution is use a full copy. On each backup, the entire backup set is copied. This usually means larger backup windows. Another solution could be use incremental transfer. Usually, it's possible to track on the source side which objects are changed from previous backup. In this way, we can only send this difference. Note that this could be simple for file, because we can use the archive bit or the modified data to identify the new files, but it's more complicated for application and system level backup, where usually an agent is needed to understand and handle the changes. For virtual environments, this could require specific function at hypervisor level. For example, the CBT introduced from vSphere 4.0. The write transport can be used to make backup more efficiently and reduce the backup windows, especially when backup size is huge, by reducing the amount of data that must be sent during a backup job. Also, it can be useful on the destination side to store this information in similar way. Later, we will see full differential incremental models on destination side. Of course, in both cases, a compression and or a deduplication at file or block level at the source side may reduce the amount of data, but in order to do this, In agent on the source and several resources to handle these activities could be needed. In case of a shared storage environment and or a virtual environment, the transport type will also define how data are transferred. For example, using the shared network or a backup network, typical solution adopted on most of agent-based backup solution, or using the SAN, for example, by direct read the data from the storage itself instead of the sources, like in this picture, or using other methods, like the hotel backup transport mode on a VMware virtual environment. By choosing a LAN-free solution, the backup can usually perform faster and or with less impact on the production environment. The size of the sources depends not only by the amount of data on it, but also by the source and the transport types. The type of a source could increase the amount of data. For example, an image level backup may include also unused space on the file system or deleted space that has not been yet reclaimed. A write transport type could also be used to reduce the size of the data that must be transferred from the source. For example, by using incremental transfer. But how data change in the time may limit incremental transfer, for example, in a database. And also, keep a write integrity and consistency may require more space. The amount of data and how are stored on the destination will also define some constraints on the type of destination and its size. Size could also create some dependency on how handle the consistency of the data. In most cases, some kind of snapshot technologies are used, and this means that more additional space is needed to handle the snapshot of big data. Now let's talk about where the backup could be stored. Basically, we could have two main types of destination. One is disk-based, where backup data are stored on some kind of hard disks, logical disks, or network shares, and the backup procedure is just a disk-to-disk flow. The second is tape-based, where backup data are stored on tapes, or logical or virtual tapes, and the backup procedure is just a disk-to-tape flow. Each solution has some advanced and also some disadvantages, and the good policy must choose the one that could best fit with requirements and constraints. Also, we can have some hybrid approach, where both disks and tapes are used, for example, in a disk-to-disk-to-tape flow, where disks are used at first level of a backup, or just for staging in order to save data faster and then move the backup to the tape outside the backup window. This kind of approach can gain the best of both worlds. And finally, of course, there are also other classifications for the destination. For example, using a cloud model, we can have on-premise or off-premise destinations. Backup could just become a service in a backup as a service model. Backup to disk usually consists in some kind of structured file stored on proper storage. We can use a set of disks connected with direct attach or storage array network, usually organized in one or more logical volume using some kind of RAID configuration. In most cases, RAID 5 or RAID 6 to maximize the available space and guarantee some kind of redundancy. Or we can use a network shares. In this case, the destination is just a share using standard network sharing protocols like NFS or SIFS SMB. On the destination side, of course, there are some kind of disk organized in similar way as the previous point. Or we can have some kind of hardware or virtual appliances that usually work as a NAS using network shares. But some may also work with iSCSI by exporting logical disk or other way, for example VTL as explained in next slide. Note that backup appliances may not provide the backup software. In this case, you can use what you prefer, but must be compatible with the protocols exported by the appliance. A disk-based solution has several advanced over a tape-based solution. First, they have a great capacity. Actually, the tape capacity is limited, 1.5 terabyte on LTO5, compared to disk capacity, 2 or 3 terabyte on common SATA disk. Although a tape drive could be fast, 130 megabyte uncompressed on LTO5, compared to the average high capacity SATA disk, that is around 35 megabyte per second, disk can be strapped together to increase the speed of the resultant set. And there are a lot of time overhead for a tape lookup and allocation that could slow down the start of the backup, and also the restore time and the RTO could become too big. Disk solution have bigger scalability, especially in the appliance-based solution. In some cases, we can scale with more appliances from the same vendor and use them together as a single logical device. With disk-based solution, replication and disaster recovery are simple. We can use a storage-based replication or also file-level replication to make remote copies of the backup data. And finally, a backup disk solution is more flexible. For example, the duplication technology could be possible on it, rather than a simple compression technology that is commonly supported on tapes. Also, most backup programs now support at least the backup to disk. Not all support also the backup to tape, especially for backup programs in virtual environment. In a backup to tape solution, the destination usually consists in some kind of tape device. We can start from a single tape unit that usually can handle only one tape cartridge at one time, and could be direct attached with internal or external connection using SIS or SCSI cables. Another choice could be an autoloader. This usually consists in an appliance with one or more tape units and several slots for tapes. Again, it could be connected using direct attached, like in the previous point, but in some cases also with a storage area network. Next level is a tape library that is similar to an autoloader, but usually bigger and with more size and features. The connection in most cases is using the storage area network. There is also an hybrid solution called virtual tape library. Could be an appliance, hardware or software that can be used as an autoloader or tape library, but on the back end it works usually with disks instead of tapes. We will give more information in the next slide. Actually, tape standards defined by organizations like the Linear Tape Open Consortium, whose members include Hewlett-Packard, IBM and Quantum, has officially released specification for the LTO Generation 5 with around 1.5 terabyte of native capacity and throughput of 130 megabyte per second uncompressed, and is working for the future standards. So tape are growing, but also disk are growing, and faster. Also, autoloaders and tape libraries are usually more expensive solution compared to similar disk-based solution, but they are similar to some kind of backup appliance. And the cost per terabyte for a tape compared to a SATA disk is becoming not so different. But at least there is still a big advance of tape-based solution that consists in the possibility to remove and archive a tape. This is not so simple with a disk, although there are some kind of solution using removable cartridge that contains the disk. As explained in the previous slide, the Virtual Tape Library is an hybrid solution that can emulate an autoloader or tape library, but it works on the backend, usually with disks instead of tapes. This kind of solution could be implemented as a gateway appliance to be used as a front-end for existing storage, but could also be a feature on some disk-to-disk appliance in order to give more options in supported interfaces and protocols. And of course, could also be implemented with software-based product. For example, there are some virtual appliances for this purpose. The advantage of using VTL is that it can be used to migrate from a backup to tape solution to a backup to disk without changing nothing on the backup programs, except reconfigure for the new tape library. It could simply use to improve and scale a disk to tape solution. Note that a virtual tape library may be able to export its data to physical tapes, so could also be used in a multi-tier schema. Also, it can give an interesting advantage in backup architecture that must be LAN-free, because you can use the SAN protocols for tape library and move the backup traffic on the SAN side. Now, let's talk about the how part of a backup policy that defines several aspects. One could be if a multi-tier or multi-level or hierarchy backup must be implemented. In this case, we have to define how data are distributed using different type of destinations, as described in the previous slides. One important aspect is the destination format. How data are saved, in which format, with which kind of relations with previous data, full, incremental, differential, deduplicated, and so on. Then we have to define the backup frequency. How often are performed the backup jobs? And finally, there is the backup retention that defines how all data are removed from the destination and how much data must remain to be compliant. In multi-tier backup, we could combine different techniques or use multiple levels or build a hierarchy organization. As previously described, we can combine disk-to-disk and disk-to-tape together to have two levels of backup in a disk-to-disk-to-tape model. But we can also have multiple levels of backup. For example, the very first level could be the storage itself, using some storage feature like snapshot or recovery or consistency points. Formally, this solution is not a real backup, but we can use to provide a really fast recovery procedure or as a source for other backup levels. Offline media could be another level, usually used as a final level. Also, in an environment with replication, we can use the replicas as an additional backup level. Alpha limitation could be exist depending on the backup program on replica compared to a real backup. The format of the backup data depends on the backup data, but also if we are using disk or tape approach. As previously described, by using a disk approach, we can have different options to store the backup data. We can use a set of files that are similar to archive files, but also a complete deduplication archive could be implemented. This could be common on most of the disk-to-disk appliances. On tape destination, the type of the format is quite limited, usually consists only on a sequence of compressed archive. Note that most tape unit can handle the compression in hardware, so you can offload this process to the unit itself. About how the data are related with previous data, we can have different formats. In full mode, each backup is an entire full backup of the source data. This does not imply that data must always be transferred with the full backup from the source, except the first time, because the full set could also be rebuilt from the previous data and an incremental transfer. In differential or cumulative mode, each differential backup includes all changes from the last full backup. Backup jobs are faster compared to the full backup. And to make a restore, you just need a full set and the last differential set. In incremental mode, each incremental backup includes all changes from the last backup. For this reason, backup jobs are usually faster, but to perform a restore, you may need, in the worst case, last full backup and all incremental backup. Differential or incremental backup could be obtained using full or incremental transfer, but is common use the second way when is available. Those type of formats are normally used on disk-to-tape backup, depending also on the retention of the data. Of course, they have some impact on the duration of the backup and also the restore jobs. In a disk-to-disk solution, other formats could be implemented, like the duplication, as I written in the previous slide, but also other variations of previous formats, like reversed incremental, last backup is always rebuild as full backup, and previous are incremental backup, or synthetic backup, that is an incremental model starting from a specific date, and a reverse incremental before this date. Note that the security of backup data could be handled by some backup programs by using encryption. For disk-to-disk appliances, this may be performed from the appliance itself, and also some tape units are able to offload this process. The backup frequency defines how much the different type of backup are performed in the different job schedules. RPO and other business requirements usually define those schedules. We can use and combine the different destination format type in a more complex schedule. For example, a full backup on the first Sunday of each month, a differential on other Sunday, and an incremental in all other days. Backup retention defines the minimum time where data must be maintained and when all data can be deleted and or purged. Of course, it depends by previous properties. The source type and its size could be a requirement that define a minimum destination size in order to guarantee the right retention. The frequency of the backup could increase the size of the backup data. More backup mean more data, and this could limit the retention. The format type can reduce the required space, for example by using the duplication or incremental backup and or compression. In this way, we could increase the retention. The destination type also could define the amount of data that could be stored. We will get more information in the next slide. And of course, the required recovery point objective defines the retention needs. In some cases, it's possible to drive the choice from the available destination space, that could be just estimated if we are using compression or the duplication. And then we can define what could be a reasonable retention. But if the choice must be driven by the RPO, then the destination space must be designed to achieve the requirements. Now, let's explain how retention could be handled in different ways if we are performing backup to disk or backup to tape. In a backup to disk solution, usually we can use incremental backup, because they could be really space efficiently without big disadvantages in restore procedure. When more space is needed, we can scale with more disks to reach the required space, or use, if possible, compression and or the duplication to improve the space usage. Reclaimed space of expired data usually could be simple and faster, because backup data are stored on some kind of files. In a backup to tape solution, usually we need a combination of different full, differential, incremental models to improve the speed of the restore and try to store more information on the available media. But to scale with more space, other policies are needed to change and manage the tape media and to work also with offline supports. Also, the reclaim of the back space could be more complicated, and there are specific policies to handle the tape media rotation in order to recycle the old expert tape and also try to maximize the tape lifetime. Let's spend a couple of words about the media rotation policy, also called backup rotation scheme, that define how and when each media is used for a backup job and how long it's retained. Different techniques are evolved over time to balance data retention and restoration needs with the cost of extra data storage media. In this slide, you can see the main type of rotation policies. As explained in the previous slide, those policies are common with tape, but could be used for each removable media. To conclude this lesson, let's make a short overview. First, we have explained what is a backup policy, and then we have detailed what make and define a backup policy. But the most important message is why a backup policy is important. As you can understand, a backup policy could be used to design, but also to document, your backup, and could be integrated in other plans, like a business continuity plan. For this reason, I recommend to keep the set of backup policies at a high level and most vendor solution independent as possible, in order to improve and validate them. Only in the final phase you can adapt and implement them on your specific solution. This approach is common in several other fields, like for example in the security. Finally, although backup policy are usually applied to backup tasks, similar concepts can also be ported to other kind of solution for data protection, like continuous data protection, replication, application level protection or replication. This concluded the lesson. Thanks for your attention.